This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Welcome back to the show, everybody, and we are joined rejoined by Don LaGreca. So Donnie's with us, and right now we will turn our attention to really one of the greatest that's ever done it. And I don't think that's hyperbole at all. And that is Marv Albert, who's calling tonight's Celtics-Wizards game at 9 p.m. on TNT. And this will be the last playoffs for Marv Albert, as he has announced he will retire at the end of the Eastern Conference Finals. And he's nice enough to join us now. Marv, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you?
Michael, I'm great. Thank you. And thank you for the very, very kind words. I'm just out of a meeting about our first play-in telecast.
It should be interesting. I think it's a funky thing the NBA has added. But I've got to ask you this, Marv. Why now? When I listen to you, it still sounds like it's a big game when Marv Albert's broadcasting it. Why now?
Well, it's a combination of things. I always said if I went to the age of 80, that would be incredible. And about a year and a half, I think that's it. Combination of the travel, the pandemic, not being able to do it in arenas, which probably will change. We're hoping we can see actual arenas and actual players as we did in the All-Star game at Atlanta for the Eastern Conference Finals, but we'll have to wait and see. But as you know, we're all doing it, and you're doing it with Yankee baseball. And with basketball, it's so – same with hockey, and my son Kenny's been doing it. It's amazing to think of doing hockey with the helmets and all the international players. And I guess, Don, you're doing some of that too. But basketball, too, you just don't see parts of the court, and you don't get information. And they're all doing the best they can, both TNT and ESPN, but it's not the same. And hopefully it will change. But then you go back to the traveling, even though I should never complain because we travel under excellent conditions. But I think I, during the pandemic, realized that, hey, this is a rehearsal for retirement. This isn't bad. Lots of reading. I was a binging TV champ with the screening possibilities that, are on these days, working out. And it actually felt pretty good.
Right.
And my wife, Heather, and particularly my two pugs, Trixie and Madison, begged me to stay home more often.
I got so many questions, but I have to ask, what does Marv Albert binge watch?
Well, I went through the entire repertoire, but off the top of my head, Ozark, Justified, The Bureau, which is a French series, Call My Agent, another French series. I don't speak French, but the subtitles were excellent. Fauda, which is a action-packed Israeli series.
And you don't speak Hebrew
this
either.
This is America. I can keep going on and on, but that would be boring.
Have you thought, you've done this your whole life. I mean, almost your whole life. Have you thought about what next year will be like when basketball starts and you will not be doing it?
That is something I thought about because I really won't feel it until next November,
right,
when it does start up. But I'm sure there'll be some thoughts of, gee, maybe I should have stayed a couple more years, which I could have. But I think I'll get over it. I've always been fine with doing other things in terms of relaxation and. As I said, what took place during the pandemic, and I am a big fan of social distancing. So,
well, we have something in common.
Yeah, I would think you might feel the same way. But we're in downtown Manhattan. I love it there, and I think it would have run out on me if I did continue in terms of. Not being what I was, say, a few years ago.
By the way, so Marv, this last run here in the playoffs, are you going to be paired with Reggie?
They're still trying to figure it out. Tonight, Grant Hill. The other night, it was Reggie. I'm not sure. They're figuring out all the possibilities.
Were you surprised about the departure of C. Webb?
Very much, and I still don't actually know the reasons. And I was so sorry to see that. He's a great guy, and I enjoyed our time together, and I was so delighted that he finally made the Hall of Fame, you know, which would have been several years ago. And it was one who did many of his games when he was with a very good Sacramento King team. He was one of the best players in the game for about 6, 7, 8 years. So I was surprised with what you're referring to. Yes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I've also always wanted to ask you, you guys growing up with it, you, Al, and Steve, how clear was it that all three of you were going to go on this path? And what do you think made you guys different as broadcasters? Because all three of you have a different style. Like, you could tell you're brothers, but you're also all different.
Yeah, it's really, with all of us, and I'm sure you guys did the same, we turned down the TV and announced games in our tape recorder. I remember my dad bought for one of my birthdays a Wolensack tape recorder, which I used to carry around all the time. And I got a crowd sound record and from a guy named, do you remember the announcer Les Kiter?
Yes.
Who was in New York. Yeah. In fact, did the Knicks for a couple of years. And I got to know Less than just, I was like a gym rat. I was a radio rat. I'd go to the studio, and you know, he was such a nice guy. Let me watch him broadcast. He gave me a crowd record because when the Dodgers and Giants moved away, he was doing recreations of their games. He had it was WINS. They got the rights to do it, and so we did the same. Not quite at the same level that Les did, but. When I got into broadcasting, originally, my brother Al was kind of like an intern with me, and he became very interested in it. And, you know, he said, hey, this is a pretty good life. Steve, we weren't sure. First, he traveled the country as a puppeteer, which we were very concerned. I'm kidding.
I almost bought it.
Yeah. But he was interested in art. At the time, he was a pretty good artist. We all played musical instruments, which we're not necessarily that proud of, our skills. We'd always want to be in the schoolyard playing basketball or, stickball or baseball, whatever. But it was like, Marv, come on in and practice, you know, that type of situation. I could still give you the first bars of Malaguena and Autumn Leaves.
Now, I'm sure you've told the story, but please, for our listeners, how did you get Yes? I don't mean the cable channel. How did you get Yes in accounts?
It just came out because a friend of mine in the schoolyard, who we play against in the schoolyard, there's always a kid who would be announcing the games. It wasn't me. I was always shy. So he would do play-by-play as we're playing these three-on-three games. And he imitated a referee by the name of Sid Borgia, who was very colorful and would make all kinds of gyrations on the court. And when someone would hit a shot and it would be fouled, he would go, yes, and it counts. And he would put that into his repertoire. So it just so happened, I remember there's a Nick Philadelphia playoff game at the Garden, and Dick Barnett, who had that fallback baby jump shot, happened to bank in a long-range jumper. And I said, yes, and I used it maybe one other time, and people started repeating it back to me. And then even the players after the warm-ups, when I walk by, they'd give me a yes. And it just caught on for whatever reason, you know. So I know a lot of people use it now. But that's basically where it came from.
Your son's going to call the Stanley Cup Final for NBC. He's going to be the voice of TNT. How proud are you that as you leave, Kenny's ascending into heights for multiple sports?
Oh, extremely. I mean, he worked hard for it. I mean, he did the same thing. He, as I had my own fictional radio station, it was the my initials. Kenny did the same thing, KGA for his initials, and had a tape recorder. Would do games off the TV, and he was very, you know, he was always very shy also. But it was like release, you know, it brings something out, you know, if you're kind of low-key. And then he got all these jobs, and he did it on his own, you know, intern for various basketball leagues that would start up on Long Island. And it just progressed to he was always into hockey, played hockey, played at NYU. They had a club team. And he auditioned and got a job doing the Baltimore Skipjacks. They were a farm team of the Washington Caps, and did that for several years. And then the Caps hired him, and he eventually made his way sitting in for me with the Rangers. And, you know, the rest is what has taken place. I mean, I think does a great job. As you do, Don, I listen to hockey. He is, he'll start next year with TNT. I told the people over there that you just can't get rid of an Albert. I mean, that's just the way it goes.
Now, I know we don't have you for that long, so I just wanted to ask you this. You've done everything. Is it better being a team broadcaster or a national broadcaster? What did you prefer, Marv? Obviously, you're so identified with the Knicks championships and obviously doing national work for so many sports. What did you like the most?
Well, I was very fortunate, when a team is so successful as the Knicks were in the 70s, and, you know, being able to do those key games, be it the Willis Reed entrance in 70 of Game 7 or some of the other, even the Riley years where they didn't win a championship, but they were a very interesting team because it was a completely different philosophy with guys like Charles Oakley and Anthony Mason, et cetera. And then when I went to the network, it turned out NBC, when they got basketball, had the Michael Jordan era, the end of the Detroit Pistons, which I was there for, and then the Jordan years, which included, you know, all that people saw on The Last Dance, the Olympics. That was one of the great thrills for me in 92 in Barcelona, being around that team. They're so different. Each has its own ups and downs. I mean, I always believe in objectivity, which some owners don't believe in. So that made it a little tougher, particularly when the Knicks had the downslide, you know, in recent years. On network, you feel you can really say anything. Not that you're going to kill anybody, but you could, you know, sometimes on the local level, the slightest criticism, as you guys know, can, you know, make an owner, or someone will tell an owner that, hey, you know what so-and-so said. And I think it's changed broadcasting, particularly home radio, be it baseball, basketball, football, whatever, NFL. I think it's changed it, because I think guys sometimes are a little afraid to say what is actually happening. And if you don't say what's happening, why will people believe you? You know, if you're over the top in terms of glorifying everything. So they were both extremely enjoyable. I mean, I've been very fortunate.
Now, here's the way I envision it, Marv. This is the way I'd love to see it happen. I don't think it will, because the Knicks aren't good enough. I want your last game on TNT to be the Eastern Conference Finals and the Knicks are in it. That would be so much closure. I would love that. Have you thought about that at all?
You know, I haven't. It's an interesting concept. But, yeah. for the, you know, the Knicks have had a wonderful year. I mean, what Tom Thibodeau has done is amazing. And it's revived, I think, basketball in New York City, which is like the greatest basketball city in the world. And this is with no crowds and small crowds. And you're getting standing ovation from 3,000 people to 2,000 people, which is nice to see. But I don't think the Knicks will get that far.
Yeah, neither really. I can dream.
If they get by, it's a dream. It's a good dream. But if they get by Atlanta, it would be, what a season. Yeah. Atlanta's very good, even though they've had, Knicks have the home court advantage. I don't know what that's going to be, although more people will be allowed in, and certainly they will be in Atlanta. So that could be an advantage now, home court advantage, which wasn't during the course of the season. But if they get by Atlanta, who knows? But I think it's going to be very tough when you look at the other teams. And, look at if the Nets are able to find the continuity, if all three guys or even two of the three are okay, Philadelphia is really solid. Milwaukee looks better than they have the last couple of years. I mean, the Drew Holiday deal, I think, has changed things for them. And even P.J. Tucker, who is a pickup and a bench player, but comes in and does valuable things. I think the top of the East is so strong. So it'll be tough for that to happen. But it's an excellent dream.
I'm a good dreamer. I'm a really good dreamer, Marv. I always have been. Anyway, you know that you have affected several generations of sports fans and broadcasters. I love the fact that you come on the show when we ask, and I want this last run in the playoffs to be so enjoyable for you. And I wasn't done listening to you, Marv, so I don't know. If you want to come back, please do.
Yeah. Mike, thanks. Guys, Don, thank you. Appreciate
you got it,
Marv.
Thank you.
And anytime, give a call.
All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, Marv.
Celtics Wizards tonight at 9 p.m. Marv will have the call on TNT. So, I just thought it was time. And maybe the pandemic didn't make him think, well, this is what retirement's going to be like. Maybe it did that to a lot of people. I know I thought about it sometimes. Well, this is what it will be like. You're not going to leave the house that much. And the only thing that's different with a pandemic is that you aren't able to go anywhere.
Right.
So it kind of opens up the world if you have no work to go to. And boy, what has Marv Albert not done? And maybe he just thought it was time. And there's other people, like Vince Scully went till he was 92. John Sterling is 82, has no plans to retire whatsoever. So, I mean, some people look at it differently.
I think the fear is, what am I going to do with my idle time? And I think the pandemic showed that, hey, maybe he can do it and it's not that bad. And just gave him a window into it and says, all right, listen, I can occupy my time. I can do things and be productive without having to travel and be away from the family. And that probably what it did. It exposed him to another life that maybe he was a little bit more welcome now than before, when he probably didn't think he'd have anything to do. That was quite the list too, Peter, of the things he was binge watching.
Yeah.
It was quality stuff there, right?
Yeah, he's like, my parents are Jays. That's my parents love all those shows. Loves The Bureau, they love Fauda, they love all of them.
That's a good show for you to pitch to like a streaming network. My parents are Jays.
That's not where I thought you were going to go with that. But I didn't know where you were going to go, to be honest.
Sometimes you don't.
I had more stuff I wanted to ask Marv.
Yeah, he only had like 15 to 20 minutes, so I'm sorry.
Well, he's retiring soon, so we should be able to get – I want a series with him.
Maybe he could be the fourth guy in the show.
Did you ever have him on center stage?
No, we never did. We always tried, and we just couldn't –
Oh, you know, in other words, you asked, but he never said, yes!
Really?
Really? You've got a lot of nerve. You've got a lot of nerve. With everything you've said over the last week, that joke would be at the top.
What
the
did
top.
I say over the last week that wasn't good? I don't understand.
Oh,
what
Don,
you're saying.
Can you even remember some of the ones?
Well, there was
Don?
The whole Brad, the whole Beal spiel.
Oh, come on, that was gold,
Beal.
Jerry, gold.
When you went on the Beal run, it was really horrible.
People loved it. They're still talking about it.
That's not true.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save; it's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Don, it's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too.
How was the Don Show yesterday?
Oh, all the hits came out.
Griffin.
The Don Wack pack of Richard and Griffin.
What?
Did High Pitch Eric call?
No, he did not.
No.
But we had the two. Like, the first two calls up on the board were Griffin and Richard.
Wow.
And again, played the whole open and Richard right into his point.
Yeah, I heard. It was trouble.
Now, why don't you just ask him, Richard, did you hear that song?
We were thinking of changing it up. And yeah, me just like in the, at the end of the song saying, Richard, you piece of human filth, what's going on? And see if he even reacts to that.
That, you know what, Don? That's the test. You don't ever point out the song. Just start saying weirder things about him before he talks.
But it's like, hi, Don, and then right into a stream of consciousness that I would say 95% of the things I completely disagree with. What was it yesterday, Andrew, that his point was?
Yesterday, his point, it was that the Knicks have, their postseason started basically a week ago, so they have postseason experience.
But,
interesting.
And I disagreed with it just because I understand you always throw that out there because there were must wins for them. But I'm sorry, playing the Lakers without LeBron, playing a Celtic team that basically had their, you know, their G League out there isn't exactly the same as playing the Hawks in game one, right?
Now, he was on hold when we closed this show. So I think he probably doesn't like either me or Peter, but really likes you.
I really just think
that. Because he's called before 6:30 before.
Yeah, but I think that's around the time that he calls, and I don't think he's trying to avoid you.
He doesn't like or not like anyone. He's just a robot who's programmed to call at that time with his takes.
Andrew's right. I'm just a vessel. He just needs somebody to introduce him and punch him into the board, and then he goes. He's not really even interested in interaction.
Well, let's hear it. Can you play it, Anthony?
What can you say?
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Don, the Knicks have playoff experience, this team. Starting with the Clippers last week.
See, you know what I want you to do? Don, the move tonight is, when Richard invariably calls, I want you to say, and now a man who's been sitting in his own filth on hold.
I hear
he just soiled himself. Richard in Manhattan. And see if he says a word. That's the test.
Richard, you piece of human filth.
Right. Right. Now, Peter, before you got in the car yesterday, did you see the Yes Open that they made for the Don Show?
Oh,
it's in a word, brilliant.
So I don't want to say it's the best thing the Yes Network has ever done, but it's very good.
Look at the countdown clock to the Don Show. Not even to the Yankee Rangers tonight. Countdown to the Don Show.
Wait, again, right now? It's already on?
We just had it while we were talking, yeah.
3 hours and 6 minutes. And I got to tell you, the Open has showed me that I'm on a better path. I think the longer hair works. You know, I just look like just a morbidly obese sports announcer during the whole Open. So I'm really on board with the way I'm looking right now.
They have him dancing. They have the Statue of Liberty. A lot of dancing from Don. They have the Empire State Building. More dancing from Don. Smiles. The 7 train. Then a mic drop at the most recent Beach Bash. And that's the Open. What a job.
Now, is Don, you're back on Yes again tonight?
Yeah.
Am I?
Yeah.
Well, they're counting down.
Because of the 8 o'clock first pitches, that's why.
Well, but whatever the reason, they've got a lot of programming they could plug in there. They took the Perfect Game Show out. They took David Wells out for you yesterday.
I do well.
Well, I'm very happy that they did that, and I'm going to try to make them proud.
All right, I've got a very important. By the way, Joe Frombach edited and produced that Open.
Hell of a name, Joe Frombach.
There you go. I've got something to ask you as a Met fan, Don.
Jenny from Blah Block. Go ahead.
I've got something to ask you as a Met fan.
Yes.
Okay. And we'll do it when we get back.
Oh, good.
Because I think it's in a word, troubling.
Troubling. All right.
Yeah.
Do it.
All right. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.